Our reading today is from the third chapter of Revelation, verses 7 and 8, and then later I'll fill you in with some other verses that kind of complete this thought. But we'll start with the very important verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put for you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. If you've been here at Boskydale for any or all of the sermons, the sermon topics of May and of June now, you're probably aware that my emphasis that I've asked you to have for these 2 months is Christian home months. Christian home months. We started, of course, with Mother's Day. Of course, mothers being a strong major center of the home. Then we went on to Graduate Sunday, emphasizing the importance and the vitality of our children, our grandchildren, taking these graduating steps all the way from, we start with, well, you graduate from kindergarten. That's good. We want to celebrate that. All the way up to our college graduates. All very, very special times in our Christian homes. And then Memorial Sunday, when our emphasis was on the very special of our to our hearts of our families and of our church family, the members of our military forces who have for decades given up their precious lives to ensure freedoms. Freedoms for us, freedoms for others in war-torn countries. Then last Sunday was Children's Sunday, and we've all known the blessing of children in our Christian homes, whether our children or as children ourselves at one time in our own Christian homes. Then next Sunday will be Father's Day, wrapping up our Christian home months, honoring all of our fathers, a key cornerstone in homes that dwell upon Christ and his Father, our God. But wait a minute. How about this Sunday? Where does a church with an open door, as you see the title of the sermon, where does that fit into all of the emphasis during Christian home months? Well, let me ask you this. Has anyone ever asked you, what is your home church? Or have you ever said, my church is Boskydale Baptist Church, been my family's church home for years. All these folks you see here are my church family. So now, do you see where a church with an open door fits in to Christian Home Month? So today, church family, my message for this morning, this Sunday, as a part of Christian Homes Month, is going to be about our church home, about our church family, and what this means in God's plans for his family. I think by now, with me standing in this pulpit to bring God's word to you for several years now, if I want to present what God has to say to us, I preach always from God's word, from our Holy Bible. What then does the Bible have to say about the church? What does it say to us about the church? Of course, this is primarily from the New Testament, of course, because that's where Jesus first spoke of the church in Matthew 16, and the rock-like faith of Peter, a faith and knowledge on which Christ intended to build his church. On this rock I will build my church. Then there's the establishment of the first church in Jerusalem after the ascension of Jesus and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that's found in Acts 1 and 2. And then the growth of the church throughout Southern Europe and Asia Minor under missionary church planters like Paul and Silas and Barnabas. And finally, the example in Revelation of the seven churches from really the very first part of chapter 1 in Revelation. Actually, I think starts about verse 10. Goes all the way to the end of chapter 3, verse 22. So you see how the church is just, the New Testament is just full of the church. Well, actually, I think you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, where God called Abram to establish a new people in a new land. And he said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And I think I could make a pretty strong argument that from there, God was beginning to build his church, his people, his family. So anyway, today we come to this last word from God on the church with a capital C in his last book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ to John. These words of the Christ turn out to be different and instructive to each of the seven churches. And only two of them, Smyrna and Philadelphia, do not need to be told to repent. The other five, it's necessary for the Lord to say, repent or else. So my choice for this morning is to direct our attention to the Philadelphia church, because this is so positive. And this church is the one that knows the favor of the Lord, a church that the Lord is uniquely blessing. And it truly was a triumphant church. It was alive and well. It was in the world. This Philadelphia church is such a great model for us, for Boscadale. This, of course, is the Lord's letter to this church at Philadelphia. It has three emphases, three great guides for the nature of what we want Boscadale to be for God and to project to the world. You see, we need to just always remember that it is the Lord who blesses us as the church. Well, as in all of the seven letters, the pastor of the church and the people are challenged to turn their eyes on Jesus. We are to look to Jesus. We are to see special things about Jesus. And this letter to Philadelphia, to us, points out three things for us to see about Jesus. First, we are to see his person. Verse 7 describes Jesus as he who is holy, who is true. These are divine qualities that describe the character of Jesus. And you know, we're not to think of, we're not to speak of Jesus irreverently, such as calling the man upstairs. Not to use his name thoughtlessly in vain, as just an expression like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, you hear people say that, perhaps in frustration or in another way. We're to think of and speak of Jesus as holy and true, the living Christ. Well, that's the person. There's his position for us to see. The position of Jesus is expressed in that same verse, verse 7, who has the key of David. You see, this expression refers to the covenant that God gave through David and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 33:17 says, the king of Israel will be one of David's descendants. You see, this promise, this covenant, is repeated over and over in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 2, chapter 8, 1 Chronicles 17, Psalm 89, Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 33 that I just quoted, and then Jeremiah 35. The Jewish people who read their scriptures, the Old Testament, were very well aware of that promise to David and of his kingly throne. In John 12 and in Matthew 21, they repeated the promise joyfully as Jesus was entering Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Jesus Christ, known through human ancestry of Israel's King David, is the King of Kings. And he has the monarch authority of absolute authority. As King of Kings, he holds the keys to all of the doors of heaven and earth. You can find that in Matthew 28, 19, 18 and 19. You can find that in Ephesians 1, 19. His authority is sovereign. It is final. And again, I say, it is absolute. And so let us never forget to whom we belong and who we serve as the Lord of our lives. So we're to see his position. We're also to see his administration. Those keys to all the doors in heaven and earth, those keys, those doors refer to the next words of verse 7, the words of the one, and the doors, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. This describes the administrative activity of Jesus. It is he who directs his churches and who blesses or withholds his blessing. He opens and closes doors. And because of, and only because of, this church administration of Jesus, there is faith and hope and love and victory and praise in the church. We do not open the doors of our church except for Jesus. And not without Jesus. We do not close the doors of our church except for Jesus and not without Jesus. So let's look at the church that Jesus blesses. We have Philadelphia here. The church of Philadelphia depicts a church, and I believe the Bible wants us to know, depicts any church that may have the blessings of the Lord on it. It's a church that is, I believe very sincerely, not dependent on size. The Lord does not automatically bless a large church, nor does a small church in number have an inside track with God. Verse 8 tells us the church at Philadelphia, our present model, had only a little power. It's possible it's just small in size, not large and influential, as many seem to think is so important. Ooh, look at that television church, 20,000 people. Well, this affirms, very thankfully for us, that it is not necessarily size, it is spirit that counts. There's hope, there is God's blessing, and those are possible for every church, even big ones. It's a church that is moving and working. I know your deeds, begins verse 8. I have put before you an open door. This church in Philadelphia was at that time active and evidently had the right motives and attitudes to move ahead through the open door that was offered to them by Jesus. In the letter to Sardis, at the beginning of chapter 3, one of the other seven churches, you can also read this same phrase, I know your deeds. But the follow-up was just the opposite. They had a reputation for being alive, but to the Lord, they were really dead. It's not what people say about a church. It's what the Lord knows about that church that ultimately matters. It's a church that is obedient. Verses 8 and then verse 10, which we did not read, both indicate that these people had kept strong, strong in obedience to the word of the Lord at some past times of crisis in their existence. This means that faithful obedience to the Spirit of Christ is our part. And then the blessings that follow are from our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe many, if not most, churches go through tough times, times of testing. But the promise of Christ is that those who persevere will find a time of blessing. Verse 8, you've kept my word and have not denied my name. And in verse 10, because you have kept the word of my perseverance. This was a church which had obviously had some crisis times, but followed her Lord in perseverance. The commands of Christ, our obedience to them, are vitally important to his church, whatever the name of the church is, Philadelphia or Bosquedale Baptist. And he makes commands to the church, and here's some of them if you have time and desire to look these up. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, John 13, 35, John 14, 21, 1 John 3, 23. Those are all about commands to be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's also a church that that stands true, who stands behind, who says, yes, that's him, to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. The church in Philadelphia was faithful to the name of Jesus Christ. You read that in verse 8. You've kept my word and have not denied my name. Tests come, but we're to stand true to him. Denying Jesus is a serious matter. Oh, and just ask Peter about it with his bitter tears. I know, yeah. You know, I know what Peter did. Three times as Jesus stood trial, Peter said, I don't know the man. And you say, well, that's not me. I would never say I don't know Jesus the Christ. But dear friends, the truth is, we may deny Jesus not just with words, but with looks, with activities, even with silence. Denial may take place in your home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood, in your social life, in your nightlife. We're called to follow the earned reputation of the Church of Philadelphia. True, not denying God's Christ's name. So be true, Bosquedale. All who are in this church family, be true to the holy name of Jesus our Lord. Prove your love for him with your life. Every minute, every part of it, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Yes, we say that. This is a church that is faithful in keeping what it has. Again, this is a verse about that church that we've not read. But now we're going to read it and study it. Revelation 3, 11. Still in the letter to the Philadelphia. Verse 11 says, hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. We're to be faithful. We're to hold fast to what we have right now. Some people think of faithfulness in terms of what they hope for, what they plan for, what they think they're going to have in the future, and then what they'll do when certain things happen. A college student may say, for instance, yeah, I'm going to tithe when I graduate and get a job. No, begin with what you have right now. Hold fast is a present imperative, meaning that the Lord is emphasizing how important it is for you to have the faith now and keep on holding it. Hold fast. The Lord blesses the church that is faithful, using what it already has to meet new opportunities. And this is the same personally as to how he will bless your personal life. Well, I've talked about blessings. What are the blessings that Jesus confers on a faithful church. Jesus had John write, I have put before you, verse 8, and I will make them know that I have loved you, verse 9, as indications that he will give to the church. What are these blessings? He gives an open door, verse 8. The idea of an open door is found in the New Testament in several places. Jesus is the door to the Father, John 10, 7 through 9. But that's not what is meant here. These are Acts 14, 27, which tells how God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. A great door for effective work, 1 Corinthians 16, 9, was opened for Paul. The door for preaching of the gospel is referred to in 2 Corinthians 2:12 and in Colossians 4:3. You see, these references carry the idea of a good opportunity for a church in evangelistic and missionary effort. So, how do we interpret here the door? The key is to its interpretation, and it's found in verse 9, where it refers to the opposition that the church experienced from, quote, the synagogue of Satan. These were adversaries and false accusers of the believers, as a door in their face. And the Lord says, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. See, he's about to give those opponents to the church, give them to the church as converts. Thus, the door is open to evangelism. The door is open to victory. The door is open to spiritual conquest. This is not just the door for Philadelphia. It's the door we are to enter today as Christ's church here on this hill in Bosquedale. We are to occupy for Christ every territory of the opposition. We are to appropriate His victory and live Christ-enthroned lives. Man, oh man, what a door. He gives another blessing, future deliverance. Verse 10, he says, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Well, this verse is referring to a specific period of time that the Philadelphia church was to look forward to. Revelation, from then on, chapters 6 through 19, describe a challenging time, a time of God-ordained tribulation that is to come, and it will come to the entire world. But believers will be delivered from this tribulation when Christ comes to take with Him His church, to be with Him. And as hard as it is to imagine that, believe it. This is Christ's promise to the people of the church at Philadelphia. It's His promise to us. And then He promises eternal rewards. In verse 12, Jesus promises eternal position, eternal identification, eternal citizenship in God's eternal holy city, and exaltation with Christ as our then present King. But, friends, family, these blessings are not experienced automatically. They are dependent on our response to the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we find in verse 13. I haven't read those two, verses 12 and 13. I'm going to read them to you now. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. And then verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Indeed, God's Spirit is always present with us, guiding us, teaches us, empowers us, comforts us. And as that last verse says so very clearly, we are to listen to the Spirit of God. That was his final instruction to every one of those seven churches of Asia. On track as the two were, and off the track as the other five were, his word to every church of those seven, and his word to every church now. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You see, our Lord Jesus still gives conquest to his church by opening doors of victory. This is a very interesting story. I want to conclude with it. About a hero of ours, of American Baptists, Adoniram Judson. I hope you recognize that name. Great forefather of American Baptists. He's just an illustration of God opening the doors of conquest and victory. He went first to India in 1812, and then by 1813, as a Baptist missionary, he was prohibited to be in India any longer because of sanctions of the British East India Company. So he went down to Rangoon in Burma, a place which is now known as Myanmar, where for 6 years he labored for the Lord with only 18 converts. But God was in him, and God was with him as the years progressed. In the very terrible war of 1824 to 26 between England and the Burmese, Judson was placed in a filthy prison for more than 17 months. He was cruelly shackled with five pairs of chains, often suspended with only his head and feet touching the ground. Sick with fever and suffering from the excruciating jungle heat, he was almost destroyed by the terrible treatment of his keepers. But he was fed, he was nurtured, kept alive like us guys are by his faithful wife, Anne, who for herself was also struggling, but was faithful to Adoniram's care. Well, he lived to see the day when thousands of native Burmese turned to saving faith in Christ Jesus. And Burma, Myanmar, today has the third largest number of Baptists worldwide, followed only by the United States and India. I really believe, church family of Boskydale, that a really important focus of the family on the Christian home is what this church home is to be for Christ, a very real church family home. And as such, a Christian home, let us truly be a church with an open door. And may God bless us.